The very first verse of our gospel ends with saying the people there were observing him carefully. They had their eyes fixed on Jesus. In a way, I look at this as an apprentice watching the master in a particular trade in order to learn not just with the ears, but with the eyes to see how it's done, to see what is being communicated. And if we were to do the same, to observe Jesus carefully, it is then that we're able to learn forgiveness. It is then compassion, faith, a complete trust, and tonight, the virtue of humility being expressed by Jesus. And the thing is, if we were just to stop and to observe him, we can look at his whole life, and his life is basically and truly one of humility. Because here's Jesus, God, who the heavens and the universe cannot contain. And then he becomes incarnate. He is conceived inside the womb of Mary. So the universe that can't contain him is now contained inside the womb of Mary, to where only a microscope at the very beginning would be able to see him. The humility of Jesus continues, that instead of being born in a palace, someplace fit for a king, he humbly is born in a stable in a cave among animals. That the Son of God was humbly willing to be called the son of a carpenter. That here the King of Kings is willing to serve and not to be served. You see, when we look at the life of Jesus, when we see everything about it, it's a lesson in humility. To the point of the crucifix, where Jesus humbly accepts a cross that is meant for a criminal, the most heinous of criminals, the righteous one. Humbly accepts what should have been my punishment. And that's where then in the gospel, when Jesus says that those who humble themselves will be exalted. Because he lived a life of humility, he conquers over sin and death. He rises not just to heaven, but to the right hand of the Father, to the very highest place of heaven, as we profess in the creed. Mary observed all of this. She had her eyes fixed on Jesus. She was watching and learning how to put this into action herself, which is why she went to serve Elizabeth, which is why she humbly accepted all of the sufferings that came with being the mother of God, to the very point of the foot of the cross, to where we just simply call her in Scripture the lowly, the humble handmaid of the Lord. To where now she herself is exalted as the highest saint. There is no one greater than Mary. And among the communion of the saints. You see, that's what happens when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus. That we begin to learn from him any virtue. But tonight, especially the virtue of humility, as our readings focus upon it. And what's even greater is that Jesus puts into action what he says in the second half of the gospel. When you hold a dinner, don't just invite your friends or your brothers, relatives, your wealthy neighbors. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. You see, the Lord is holding not just a dinner tonight, He's holding the messianic banquet. That is, heaven and earth coming together. We heard in the second reading. Matter of fact, I'll pull it out just real quick once again. You have approached Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. What is being spoken of here is at this very Mass tonight, we are joined by the angels. We are joined by the firstborn, that is the saints. We are joined by the souls in purgatory, those who are on their way to heaven. There is not an empty pew in the church. That's where the saints, that's where the angels are sitting. As they join us at this heavenly banquet that we have been invited, that I have been invited to. So where do I fit in personally? I'm the poor one. Because there's no way on earth I can repay God for this. The fact that I get to witness the greatest miracle, bread and wine changing into the body and blood of Christ. There's no amount of money I could pay God to say, I deserve you to do this for me. It's His gift. There's no amount of righteous deeds that I could do as if to turn to God and say, God, I did all these good things this week. You owe this to me. No, I am too poor to be able to turn to God to say that. Not only that, though, but I have been crippled this week and blinded by my own sins because I'm not perfect. And to be quite honest, you could say lame, I say lazy, that I have been this week in trying to progress to get to heaven. You see, this banquet, though, is meant for me, for each of us, we who have no way to repay God, we who all have been crippled by our sins, and if we're honest with ourselves at times, we are all a little lazy in really trying to strive for heaven. And yet God comes to you and me. He humbles Himself to become our very food so as to say, I will pay for you. I will take away your sins, and I will give you the strength this week to walk with me. That's how much He cares. That's how much He's willing to humble Himself for you and me, because He desires us to be in heaven. And if we were to put our eyes then upon Him in this Mass and to keep them fixed upon Him, then what we're learning is, Lord, I need to act the same way. I'm aware of all the ways You humble Yourself for me. And I now know I need to humble myself for others as well. I think of when I was a child with my brothers. If I would have had my eyes fixed on Jesus, I wonder if I would have given my mom a heart attack if I would have called the back seat of the car instead of the front seat and fight with my brothers over the back seat. Because no one ever does that. Or if when the desserts were put out, I chose the smallest piece rather than the largest piece. Because I humbly wanted to think of others before me. You see, that comes about when I have my eyes fixed on Jesus. Because He has always humbly been thinking of me, of you. And may we then, seeking to follow Jesus, seeking to learn from His example, become humble as well, so that He may then exalt us to the heights of heaven to be counted among the saints. Praise be Jesus Christ through His Mother Mary, now and forever. Amen.